Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sanhedrin Daf Nun Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. On Daf Nun Aleph, Omed Aleph, in Sanhedrin, at the second wide line from the top, you'll notice Omer Mar, and then a few words in a frame, Yochol Afilu Chilul Shabbos. This is a quote from the rather long Tanaic source that started at the bottom of Nun Omed Beis, the topic featuring the issue of a Bas Kohen who is engaged in immorality as a married woman. The opening of that source featured the pasuk that said, Uvas ish koyin ki seichel. The word ki seichel has to do with chilel, with violation. So if you were to have just those few words from the pasuk and nothing more, the Brisa raises the possibility, Yochol afilu chilulo es haShabbos. Maybe it would mean that the Bas Kohen is treated in a special way in terms of punishment, as the pasuk suggests in its continuation, that she would be guilty of a punishment known as Srefa, death through heat. And if that be the case, the opening of the Brisa suggests that a special treatment would be meted out to a Bas Kohen who is involved with violation of Shabbos, with Chilul Shabbos, because the word Ki Seichel simply means violation. So with that in mind, we're going to raise the question, why would one think that the Chilul mentioned in the Pasuk is a reference to Shabbos, and the punishment, as the Pasuk suggests, is Srefa, when we know that Shabbos violation, generally speaking, is guilty of the stoning of Skila? So we're trying to understand what is meant by the suggestion at the beginning of that particular source. So we continue now in the Gemara. Omar Mar, Yochol Omar Mar refers to a quote from something mentioned earlier. Yochol Afilu Chilulo Shabbos. Does the pasuk suggest that a Bas Kohen is treated with Srefa even in the case that she violates Shabbos? So, to this, the Gemara responds with wonderment. Chilolo Shabbos? Baskila he. Violation of Shabbos warrants a death penalty through stoning. And the pasuk that we are dealing with suggests Srefa. Omar Rava. Homoni. The Brisa that we read that has this Havamina, has this thought to Machayev the Bas Kohen Srefa on Chilol Shabbos is Rabbi Shimon he. This is in lines with the teaching of Rabbi Shimon, the Omar Srefa Chamura, that says that Srefa is the more severe of the punishments. In fact, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's the most severe of punishments. And hence we're raising the possibility that if it's a Bas Kohen that's violating Shabbos, she would get Srefa, which is the most severe penalty. And you'll ask, why not Skila? Sakodai Tachamina, one might have thought, Hoyol vi achmir behu rachmona bekayani, de rovi behu mitzvah siseros, Tido b'sreifa. One might have thought that we should machmir, we should be stringent with regards to kohanim, because we know in general kohanim have more mitzvahs, more stringencies applied to them than the general population, and as a result of that, maybe they should, in the case of Shabbos violation, be given the more stringent punishment, namely that of sreifa. Komash malon, that's why the continuation of the pasuk inserts the word liznois, that the pasuk is not talking whatsoever about Shabbos violations, and is rather talking about acts of immorality. The Gemara now asks, but according to the Havamina, according to the thought that was raised as a thought, though it of course is rejected, why would one think though that the female kohanim would be treated more stringently than the male kohanim? After all, the pasuk is featuring the female kohenis that went astray, And in our thought, she was viewed as having gone astray with the realm of in the realm of Hilchus Shabbos, of Shabbos violation. Umay shno minei didei. What is different about her from him with regard to Chilul Shabbos? So salka daita chamino. I might have thought. Ihu, the male Kohanim, the Ishtari Le Shabbos Legabi Avoda, we know that there is a Shabbos allowance made for male Kohanim in the context of Avodas Beis Hamikdash, in the context of sacrificing of sacrifices and having them burned on the altar. Those are all acts that, even though in general prohibited by way of Shabbos, but in the Beis Hamikdash, they are supposed to be done. And since the male Kohanim do those acts, do that temple service on Shabbos, therefore they would not be treated with the more severe penalty. The Gemara goes on, he gave on the lowest tariff Shabbos Gabbah, the female Kohanos that are not involved with this Shabbos allowance, they do not perform the temple ceremony, the temple sacrifice ritual, and hence there is no allowance made for females in the realm of Shabbos. I would have thought that the females only would be treated with the more severe penalty execution, namely that of Srefa. Komash Malon, that's what the Apostle and the Brisa inform us, that we're not dealing with Hilchus Shabbos whatsoever. Another quote from the source, from the long source. In order to find where this is coming from, you can use the asterisk that's provided in the little space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashi. You notice an asterisk with a notation of Nun Amud Beis. So that indicates scan Nun Amud Beis also to the right-hand side of the Gemara text and try to find a corresponding symbol. And you'll find it toward the lower part of the page. And on that line, you'll notice this expression, Yochol Afilu Pnuya. The Brisa said that could it be that even a penuya is included in this pasuk, namely the pasuk that says that a bas kohen, when she goes astray, she should she'll be guilty of this strafal penalty. But the Gemara asks, now how could there have been a havamina like that? How could there have even been a thought like that? Ha liznois ksiv. The pasuk uses the word liznois, and the expression znus, as far as the majority of opinions does not include let's say loose moral behavior on the part of single women. Pnuya indicating a single woman. And after all, the pasuk uses the word lizno, so why would one have even thought that maybe a pnuya is included in the punishment referred to in the pasuk? A pnuya being a single woman. The Gemara answers, Kidder Rebbe Lozer, this Tanaic source is being taught in lines with the approach or the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. He has a unique approach. The Omar, he is of the opinion that ponui habo al hapnuya, that a single man that has relations with a single woman outside the context of marriage, shaloi lishum ishus, his relations with her are not for the sake of wedding her, of marrying her, Aso zoina, that makes her into a legal category known as zona. And as a result of being in such a category, she would be prohibited from things that, generally speaking, a kohenes is entitled to. So that having that shows that there was a havamina to say yochol afilu pnuya. And as to that, the Brisa answered, and you said that the pasuk uses the word aviha, and through a gezera shava, we know that since the word aviha appears, we're dealing with someone that has a marriage status that's featured in the pasuk, someone that is already wedded, and hence that's the reason that a panuya is not included. However, if not for that gezeira shava, the mere fact that the pasuk uses the word liznos, that would not have excluded a panuya, because we're dealing with shitas Rebbe Elazar that says that ponui haba panuya does create a status of zona. The Gemara continues with another quote, and in order to find where this is coming from, we have a double asterisk to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, also indicating to look back at Nun Amud Beis if you want to see where it comes from. So this is a quote. It said, "O eino omer aviha elo lahoitzi es kol adam." Maybe the term aviha is coming to the exclusion of everybody else. Elo mainihu. So if we're excluding all other men, so who is left for her to have immorality with? Shezinsa me aviha. So this was a possibility raised that maybe the pasuk in the Torah is referring to a bas kohen that has relations with her father, and the pasuk says she's guilty of sreifa, of the penalty through heat. My iria bas kohen. Now the Gemara asks on this particular havamin, on this thought, why, if that were the meaning of the pasuk that she has relations with her father, why would the pasuk have to focus on a bas kohen? Afilu bas Yisrael nami. Even if you were dealing with a bas Yisrael who has relations with her father, that father and daughter engaged in immorality, that warrants death penalty through sreifa. Nothing unique to the realm of kahuna. The Omar Rova, and Rova gives us the basis for this idea that father and daughter immorality in general is sreifa. Rova says, Omar li Rav Yitzchok bar Avudimi, Rav Yitzchok told Rova, Asya heino heino, asya zima zima, through a double gezerah shava, through the expressions heino heino and zima zima, without getting into the details of that gezerah shava. This will be the subject of a sugya later in this masechta. But for our purposes, this double gezerah shava tells us that a father that has intimate relations with his daughter is chayev sreifa without all connection to the kahuna. So the question once again is, why would you think that the pasuk is dealing with a girl, a bas kohen, that has relations with her father, when it's not? When this pasuk is a bas kohen restricted pasuk, when that particular scenario applies to all members of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara answers, Itzrich, I need to be told this. Salka daito chamina. I might have thought that the word aviha, kro salka daito chamina, kro ra'afuke midarava, that the pasuk aviha is actually coming to exclude Rava's heino heino zimo zimo gezera shava midigoli rachmona babas kohen. The lobe of Bas Yisrael, from the fact that father-daughter relationship is featured only in the realm of Bas Kohen and not in Bas Yisrael. Hence, I might have thought that this word of Yah is coming to tell me not to learn like Rava and limit the penalty of Sreifa to a Bas Kohen that has relations with her father. Kamash Malon, therefore, the Braisa tells us that this the pasuk is not dealing at all with father having immoral relations with the daughter, but rather the pasuk says he mechalelis, where we learned that she is violating his name by having relations with other men as a married woman, and not talking whatsoever about father having intimacy with daughter. We continue with another quote. And you can see the framed few lines indicates it's from a Tanaic source. And in order to find where this is coming from, you can take advantage of the arrow that we have to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara here. And it says Nun Amid Beis, and you can find this at the bottom of Nun Amid Beis. Bas Kohen. Ein li ela shenises l'kohen. This at this point is actually the quote continues to the top of this particular omid itself, that from the fact that the pasuk says uses the words bas kohen, I might have thought that we're talking about a girl that married a kohen. If she married any of these other type of people, a Levi Israel, an idol worshipper, a child of a Kohen that married a divorced woman, a Nosin or a Mamzer, from where do I know? Talmud Lomar, Bas Ish Kohen, Afal Pi She'eno Kohenes. If you have the Pasuk uses the word Ish Kohen, in other words, not just Bas Kohen, but rather Bas Ish Kohen, we see that the emphasis is on the fact that her father is a Kohen. What she is of no consequence. In other words, to whomever she may be married, if she has intimacy with another man other than her husband, even though her husband may be any of these characters that were just listed, this nevertheless is grounds for death penalty through Sreifa. The spirit of this last limud suggests as follows, that once she marries a man other than a kohen, the Brisa said that Bas Ish Kohen teaches me that even though she is not a kohenis, she still will be guilty of the Sreifa penalty. So on this we ask a couple questions. The first one in wonderment. Mishum de insiba lahu lahani. Because she may have married someone other than a kohen. Lav bas kohen hi. Is she not a bas kohen? The Rashi, on the first wide line of the Gemara, explains the question in a little greater detail. He says, Lav bas kohen hi bitmiho, with wonderment. Lomali ish yisera. What do I need the word ish inserted in the pasuk lirbuye to include these other types of marriages? Even without the word ish, simply because the pasuk says bas kohen, she's the daughter of a kohen, then even if she marries someone who is a non-kohen, she herself is still a bas kohen. What do I need the word ish inserted in the pasuk to include all the other cases of marriage? Vesu. And furthermore, when the Brisa opened up and said Bas Kohen, and it said Ein li elo shenisis l'kohen, it said I would only know if she married a kohen. Why would you have even thought that in the first place? Vesu midi kohenes l'kohen ksiv. Does the pasuk even give you grounds for thinking that one would think that the pasuk is limited to that case where she marries a kohen only? In order to answer this, the Gemara has a long answer. This is a havamina. What I would have thought without the word ish in it. Why it was very important to add the word Bas Ish Kohen in order to include these other cases. Notice that we have a long marking entitled Saka Daitoch. In other words, for the next several lines of Gemara, we will be developing what one might have thought without the word Ish in the Pasuk. Saka Daitoch Amina. I would have thought, Ki Sechel Liznois Omar Rachmona. Abas Kohen, when she starts violation, starts liznos, the word seichel, meaning this, that this would be the beginning of her going off, going astray. So one might have thought, Hani mili, when is there sreifa? Hecha deka maschilo hashto, where she is starting now the chilul, where she's starting now, right now, the her demotion, if you will, or her violation. Avol ha, in the case that she marries, let us say, a nosin or a mamzer, let's say her husband had been one of these people, a nosin, a mamzer, or an idol worshipper. Kevan de komaschel of a kaimo meikora, since she's already violated. The omamar, the posuk says that when a bas kohen marries some of these other people that we just listed, nosin, mamzer, or an oved avodah zara, the pasuk says, "Ubas kohen ki siya liish zar, kevon shenivala leposula posla." Once she has relations with someone that is not fit for her, in other words, a bas kohen should not marry a mamzer. For example, let us say she did marry a mamzer, so we can say that her violation was not this very act of immorality that she conducts as a married woman, but her initial marriage was an act of violation. And secondly, lelevi v'yisrael nami. In a case where she becomes an almona or a grusha from a Levi or Yisrael, the pasuk says that while she was married to a Levi Yisrael, she's not entitled to eat from the truma tithe. However, if she becomes an almona or divorced from them, it says v'shava el beis avia kinurea. Then she returns to her father's house as she was when she was a young girl. Michlau dechi ise gabe lo achla. One then can infer that when she is with her Levi or Yisrael husband, she does not eat from the truma. So, and as such, she's already been considered in a type of chilul, a type of removal from Kohen status. So, Emo, I might have thought that in any of these above-mentioned cases, namely any case of marriage to someone other than a Kohen, Emo lo tidon besreifa, that in the case that she acts immorally as a married woman to any of these other people other than a Kohen, maybe she should not be judged with the Sreifa penalty. Kamash Malon, this is the significance of the word Ish. It tells me that even if she was married to someone other than a Kohen, someone who in fact created a state of Chilul as far as she was concerned, that doesn't matter. The word Ish comes to tell me that the only concern of the Pasuk is that we're dealing with a woman whose father was a Kohen. As long as her father was a Kohen, if she behaves immorally as a married woman, no matter to whom she is actually married, she will be guilty of the Sreifa penalty. The Gemara continues by saying that everything we've said till now is Udolo k'Rebbi Meir. What we're learning is not in the spirit or along the lines of Rebbe Meir's opinion. What are we referring to? So if we glance in Rashi, it says Udolo k'Rebbi Meir, Ha de'amaron li'el, that which we said above, Bas Kohen Hanesua Lamamzer, Bekedushoso Kaimis, the Nidoines Bisrefa. Our Brisa said that a Bas Kohen, even if she was married to a forbidden type gentleman, for example, to a Mamzer, she nevertheless retains her holy status, her Kohen status, and is judged with Sreifa. This point is the local Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir, as we will see in his source in a few lines, he says that if she marries someone that is forbidden to her, she loses her Kohen status, and as a result of that, she would not be guilty of the Sreifa penalty, which is characteristic of the Kohanim, but rather the standard general penalty of Chenek. The source begins, Bas Kohen, Shenises Li Yisrael, V'ochlo Truma. What we have by way of our markings, we have a Roman numeral 1, and of course where you see a 1, you've got to look for a 2, and that's on the next line where it says Nises Lechod, etc. So we have two cases of married to somebody. Under the Roman number 1, after that we have a bays. This bays corresponds to the bays that was featured above, a couple lines above, where the Gemara was discussing her marriage to a Levi Yisrael. So this source opens up with the cases of marriage to Levi Yisrael. As the source goes on, when it gets to Roman number 2, we'll notice there an Aleph, because at that point this source will deal with the Aleph case mentioned above, where she was married to people that were forbidden to her. So as we continue, we see a Bas Kohen, Shenises Li Yisrael, V'ochla Betruma, a Bas Kohen who was married to Israel, which is an allowed, a perfectly alright marriage, but when she's married to Israel, she's not allowed to eat Truma. Let us say she ate Truma, which is a Kohen tithe. As a single woman, she would be allowed, but since she married a non-Kohen, she's not allowed to eat Truma. And let us say she did Beshogeg, she ate Truma. The Halacha says, Mishalemes Es HaKeren, she has to pay the principal value of the Truma she ate. V'eino Mishalemes Es HaChomesh, she doesn't add the characteristic one-fifth that would be added in the case of a total non-Kohen who ate Truma B'Shogeg. If a Tzar eats Truma B'Shogeg, he pays Keren V'Chomesh, the principal plus a fifth. Since we're dealing with a Bas Kohen, she will pay the principal value, but not add the fifth. Umisasa B'Sreifa, and in the event she acts immorality as a married woman with another man, she will be guilty of the Sreifa penalty, which is characteristic of the Benos Kohen. Let us emphasize once again, even though she is married to a non-Kohen, she's married to a Yisrael, but it's a kosher marriage. So as a result of this, since it's a kosher marriage, she's not stripped of her Kohen status. Not stripped totally. She's, of course, not entitled to eat the truma, but in the event that she does, she nevertheless is not treated as an outsider, and hence she only pays the principal, does not pay the fifth. Niseis le'echod min hapsulim. If she, however, marries one of the forbidden people, for example, a mamzer or an oved avodas kochavim, mishalemes keren v'choymesh. Notice we've dashed underlined the key expressions here. We have chomesh payment, which is characteristic of someone who is a totally non-kohen, who is a zara gemura. And we see a chenek penalty, which is characteristic of a non-bas kohen. And we've dashed on the Rabbi Meir because we opened up this section of Gemara saying that the above source was not like Rabbi Meir. Here we see Chenek, the above source, suggested that even if she's married to someone totally forbidden, she still will get the strafal penalty. V'chachomim omrim, zu v'zu mishalmois keren v'lo choymesh, umisosim b'strafa. The Chachomim opinion here is the same as we saw above, that even in the event that she's married to a posel, she nevertheless does not pay chomesh, and she gets the strafal penalty because she retains her kohenes status. We now turn to the last part of the long source that continued to the top of this particular Amid, where we see Rabbi Eliezer saying something that was at the time difficult to understand. Rabbi Eliezer is quoted here, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Es Oviha Bisrefa, Vies Chomiha Biskila. Before we go on in the Gemara, just as your eyes scan ahead, you'll notice a number of different geometric forms. So that even though, at first glance, your daf, your printed text, may look a bit crowded with different geometric forms, they are all designed to ease the navigation through what would otherwise be a rather confusing and possibly complicated piece of Gemara. So we will first note our topic heading and structural note in the margin, no se mivne, and we also indicate that this goes till Amud Beis. We notice a bow tie form. This emphasizes in the text the expressions es avia or the expression es chomia in the source, the original source, featuring Rebbe Elazar. The purpose of these is to make these expressions stand out so that we can make reference back to them as we go on in the Gemara. That's what we've written in Havlotois Litzurich Hemshech HaGemara. These are attempts to highlight these terms for the continuation of the Gemara. We're then going to notice a house form. And this house form is accompanied by little house forms that will appear to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with numbers in them. These are numbered 1 through 6. You'll notice 4, 5, and 6 on Nun Aleph Amud Beis. We've indicated in our notation 6 Hatzaois, 6 presentations or suggestions. We're going to try to explain what Rebbe Elazar means by those expressions. When you notice the house form inverted, they represent dechios, rejections of whatever was said up till that particular point. In a couple lines, we'll notice a diamond form being used. They represent sidra shel shitois, a series of Tanaic opinions, Ulai Rebbe Elazar Mizbaseis al Echad Mehem, with the hope of suggesting that Rebbe Elazar, after we explain what he might be talking about, would be based on one of those Tanaic authorities that we will see later. Let's now turn to the Gemara, realizing, as we said at the opening, that the Gemara demands the ability of following through each one of the suggestions, noticing when a rejection appears, and then to take note of the new suggestion. Rebbe Elazar Omer, es avia b'sreifa, v'es chomia b'skilo. The Gemara asks, my es avia v'es chomia, what do those expressions mean? E lema es avia equals me avia, that a bas kohen who has relations with es avia means she has relations with her father. The es chomia means me chomia. Chomia is a father-in-law, so you would be dealing with immorality between daughter, father-in-law, daughter-in-law. If that be the case, my Irya Bas Koyen, why does the Pasuk feature specifically a Bas Koyen? A few Bas Yisrael Nami, even a general Jewish girl, Bitoy Bistrefa Vekalosa Biskila. Relations with one's father would result in a strafal penalty, and relations with a daughter-in-law, father-in-law, daughter-in-law, result in a stoning penalty. Nothing unique to Bas Koyen. And yet, we are involved with a discussion focusing on Bas Koyen. Ella, suggestion number two, Es Ovia equals Birishus Ovia. A girl who, she's not having relations with her father, but she's in her father's domain, namely, that's the Arusa, that's the woman who is who went through the first stage of being wedded, whereby she is presented with something with cash or something of cash value in exchange for accepting to marry a particular man. They haven't consummated the marriage yet. That's called nisuin. But the first stage creates an arusa status. So when you see the expression esovia, she's considered in the she's still in the domain of her father because she's only an arusa. So the first part of this source, the first bow tie, if you will, would be referring to an arusa that behaves immorally, that she has intimacy with another man. The eschomia, that expression, namely the second bow tie expression, which the Brisa said, Rebbe Lozer said, is to be stoned, that's birishus chomia, in the domain of her father-in-law, which means she is a nesua, she's already married to a man, so that we can say, in a manner of speaking, since she's entered in a full sense her husband's domain, she's part of her father-in-law's family. So, in other words, what would Rebbe Lozer be saying? We'd be saying an arusa who behaves immorally, she is guilty of srefa. A nesua, guilty of stoning. Well, this combination of facts or of penalties doesn't seem to parallel any of the known Tanaic opinions on this matter. And that's what the Gemara is going to be engaged in the next couple of lines with the diamonds. Trying to see where do we see this equation, namely arusa, Bistrefa, and Nesua Biskila. Come on, who else says anything like this? And if we can't find a precedent for it, we're going to have to say that our explanation is lacking. So the Gemara says, come on, Ike Rabbanan Ho Amri, if Rebbe Lozer here parallels Shitas Rabbanan, but they have said, Nesua Yotzas Bistrefa Veloi Arusa, that a Bas Kohen Nesua leaves the general realm of Chenik, which is characteristic of Benos Yisrael, and she has her special realm, she enters a special realm of Srefa. So according to the Rabbonon, Nesua is Bisrefa. According to the way we set up Rebbe Lozer, it would come out that a Nesua is Biskila. The Rabbanan also said that the Nesua leaves her realm, Veloi Arusa. The Arusa Bas Kohen does not leave her realm of general Arusos. What is the penalty characterized or characteristic of general Arusos that behave immorality? Well, it's well known that they receive Skila. And Bas Kohen, according to the Rabbanan, doesn't leave that realm. Namely, a Bas Kohen Arusa would also get Skila. But according to the way we set up Rebbe Lozer, he is saying that the Arusa would be getting Srefa. So we can rule out that the Rabbonon as being the precedent or the source for Rebbe Lozer's ruling. Continuing, Rebbe Shimon, if Rebbe Lozer's teaching is in lines with Rebbe Shimon's approach, we haven't seen Rebbe Shimon just now, but we're just going to accept this as this is his opinion. Ho Omar, Rabbi Shimon is known to say, Achas Arusa, the Achas Nesua Bisrefa, that both an Arusa and a Nesua Baskoin get the same penalty. They get the Srefa penalty. But Rebbe Lozer above said that a Nesua gets Skila. So we cannot say that Rebbe Lozer parallels Rabbi Shimon either. The Rabbi Shmuel, his opinion will be featured on a brisa on Amid Beis. If you want to say that Rabbi Elazar parallels Rabbi Shmuel, it doesn't work either. Ho Omar, Rabbi Shmuel is known to have said, Arusa Yotzas L'Srefa, that an Arusa Bas Kohen leaves the realm of Skila, and she is guilty of Srefa, Veloi Nesua, but a Nesua Bas Kohen doesn't leave her realm. Just because she's a Bas Kohen, she is treated as a regular nesua, as a general nesua is concerned, and therefore es chomiha cheneku. The es chomiha, which is another way of saying, we said birshus chomiha, which meant she is a nesua, according to Rabbi Yishmael, a nesua, bas kohen, gets chenek, and not skila, as Rabbi Lozer suggested. So we can't parallel Rabbi Lozer to Rabbi Yishmael either. So at this point in the Gemara, we have, albeit a brief quote from Rabbi Lozer with the two bow ties that you saw a few lines up, but we are at a loss for explanation. Therefore, we approach what's going to be approach number three. Shalach Rovin Mishmei Rabbi Yossi Rochanina. Kach hi hatsa'a shel Mishnah. Thusly, we will present the Tanaic source. Li'olam kerabonan. We will say that Rabbi Lozer, in his, let's say, cryptic comment, is really reflecting the opinion of the Rabbanan. Just to review, the opinion of the Rabbanan says that a Nesua Bas Kohen is Srefa, and Arusa Bas Kohen is Skila. The question is, how do we see this in the words of Rabbi Lozer? So we continue. V'hochi Ko'amar. Actually, before we continue, we should take note of another form here. We employed a circle around Rovin's name, and we've noted in the outside margin that the circle is Litzor Kesher, to create a connection between Rovin v'Ravina b'Omid Beis, and the opinion of Ravina that we'll see later on Omid Beis. So, as we just said, according to Rovin, Rebbe Lozer, in the bow-tied source, if you will, is really reflecting the Shitas HaRabbanan. What Shitas HaRabbanan? So to review, Nesua Bas Kohen is Bisrefa, and Arusa Bas Kohen is Biskila V'Hochi Ko'amar. And thusly, Rebbe Lozer says, Kol Shehu Lemata Mi Misa Savia. The expression Misa Savia is a reference to Srefa. So you'll ask, how does the expression Misa Savia refer to Srefa? It says as follows. A girl that has intimacy with her father creates a Srefa penalty. So this phrase is saying anything that is beneath the Srefa penalty, any act, any Avera, and we're going to become more specific as we go on in the Gemara itself, but an act of immorality that warrants a penalty, in general, that is less than Srefa. Continuing, Umai Nihu, what is an example of an immoral act that warrants a penalty that's less than Srefa? Nesua Bas Yisrael, a fully married Bas Yisrael that behaves immorally outside the realm of her marriage. The Ilu Nesua Bas Yisrael Bechenek, as is known in general, a Nesua Bas Yisrael is guilty of the Chenek penalty. Hacha, in the case of a Nesua Bas Kohen, Bemisa Savia Besrefa, the Nesua Bas Kohen that has Zenus with another man, the married Bas Kohen that is immoral, has intimacy with another man, will get the same penalty as one who has relations with her father. And that's Besrefa. So, saying it a little more simply, what Rebbe Lozer is saying, that a Nesua Bas Kohen is Besrefa. In fact, that Halach is the same as the Rabbanan. That's what they say too. Continuing, Kol Shehu L'mala Mimisa Savia, any type of immorality that is, in general, above Misa Savia. Now, what did we say Misa Savia meant? We said that meant Srefa. So what's above that? Skila is above that. And what type of immorality is guilty of the Skila penalty? Umayinu, what is that? Arusa Bas Yisrael. The Ilu Arusa Bas Yisrael Ba'alma B'Skila. The case of an Arusa Bas Yisrael, the general Arusa, is guilty when she engages in intimacy with another man. She is guilty of the Skila penalty. Hacha B'Misas Chamiya, here, in the case of the Arusa Bas Kohen, when she has relations with an outsider, she is guilty of what's called Misas Chamiya. Now, that expression Misas Chamiya equals Biskila. But Misas Chamiya literally is a case where father-in-law and daughter-in-law have intimacy. So, the term Skila is referred to in a rather, we'll say, literary way by using the term Misas Aviyah. Just like we said a few lines above, that in the, what we'll call the literary way of referring to Sreifa, we saw the term, not Misas Chamiya, but rather Misas Aviha. But these two terms, Misas Aviha, is just a code for Sreifa. Misas Chamiya is a code for Skila. We are not talking in this particular section about women that had relations with their own father or with their own father-in-law, but rather, when the term Sreifa is used, it's a reference to the Nesua Bas Kohen that has relations with another man. And when you see the term Misas Chomia used, which refers to Skila, it's a reference to an Arusa Bas Kohen that has relations with another man. After all is being said, this is simply a reflection of Shitas HaRabbanan. Everything would be fine and good, except for the fact that we have an objection. Maskifla Rebumia. Rebumia objects to this analysis. He says, Midi Lamala Lamata Katani. In order for us to have made sense of Rebbe Elazar, we had to insert in our explanation the expressions, those who are above the penalty of, or those who are below the penalty of. Those words don't appear in the source itself, and that's a source of discomfort, if you will, for Rabbi Yirmiya. Ela Omar Rabbi Yirmiya. Le'olam Karebi Yishmoel. He wants to say that Rabbi Elazar would parallel the Shita of Rabbi Yishmoel, which says that Arusa Bas Kohen gets Sreifa, and a Nesua Bas Kohen gets the standard chenek. The Hachi Komar. And this is how one is to understand Rebbe Elazar. And once again, we're going to be going over the what was featured on Omid Aleph in the bow ties. We're going to go over those bow tie expressions and see how to read Rebbe Elazar into Rabbi Shmuel's interpretation. Or into Rabbi Shmuel's ruling. The Hachi Komar Esoviha equals Birshus Aviha. Birshus Aviha was, as we saw earlier, is a reference to an arusa. She's a married woman, but still hasn't consummated her marriage, so she's considered still within the realm of her father's household, and hence an arusa bas kohen, who's Birshus Aviha, namely, she's an arusa, as we just said. She is bisreifa. That, in fact, is what Rabbi Shmuel holds, that arusa bas kohen is bisreifa. The es chamiya, that expression, mechomia. This means a nesua bas kohen that has relations with her father-in-law. And the chiyuv there is called the chiyuv of kaloso. Kaloso means daughter-in-law. Father-in-law, daughter-in-law. If the nesua bas kohen has relations with her father-in-law, mamish biskila. V'chol adam, however, this idea of the Nesua Bas Kohen being Chayev Skila is to the exclusion of a Nesua Bas Yisrael, which is, that's V'chol adam b'chenek, which means a Nesua. Well, let us say this again more accurately. We must correct a slight error here. The Cholada means if the Nesua Bas Kohen has relations with someone other than her father-in-law, the Nesua Bas Kohen will be guilty of chenek. That idea is, in fact, Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, as we noted above. Arusa Bas Kohen with another man is Besreifa, and a Nesua Bas Kohen with another man other than her father-in-law is Bechenek. In order to read this particular interpretation into Rebbe Elazar's comment, we had to say as follows. We had to say that the expression Esovia was a reference to in the domain of her father, namely an Arusa, but the idea was Birishus Aviha. When the expression Es Chomia appeared in Rebbe Elazar's source, and there it was followed by Es Chomia and it said Beskila, there we had to change the meaning and say that Es Chomia was she had relations with her father-in-law himself, not a term meaning in the domain of the father-in-law, but the father-in-law mamish. There's therefore an inconsistency or an imbalance in the two phrases that Rebbe Elazar used. Omar Rava, my shna, o idi v'idi mamish, either the Reisha and Seifa, the opening comment and the closing comment of Rabbi Elazar, should have been with the man themselves. Namely, if you're going to tell me that the second expression of Es Chamiya meant with the father, immorality with her father-in-law himself, then Es Avia should have meant the same thing. Oy Edi V'Edi Rishus. Or if you're going to tell me that Es Avia meant in the father's domain and not with the father himself, so Es Chamiya should have also meant in the father-in-law's domain, not with the man himself. This brings us to attempt number 5. Elo Oma Rava Li'olam K'Rabbi Shimon. What's very interesting, by the way, in noting the structure of this Gemara, we're now up to number 5. From number 3 onwards, we are actually going through each one of the Tanaic opinions that were rejected after stage 2. Namely, you have 3 diamonds that showed how Rebbe Elazar could not have paralleled neither the Rabbanan, nor Rebbe Shimon, nor Rebbe Shmuel. And as we hit number 3, we tried to set it up like the Rabbanan. We saw number 4, we tried to set it up like Rebbe Shmuel. And now we get to number 5, where we're trying to set it up like that, like the third opinion, Rebbe Shimon. So let's see how this goes. Rava suggests that Rebbe Elazar made his comments in the spirit of Rebbe Shimon. What we must note is that Rebbe Shimon is of the opinion that the most severe penalty is Sreifa. In the realm of the 4 Misos Besdin, his number 1 is Sreifa, number 2, Skila, his number 3 is Chenek, and number 4 is Hereg, which is different than the order of the Rabbanan. So, following this approach, Rebbe Elazar is like Rebbe Shimon, Vikosavar, Rebbe Elazar, Nisua Kearusa. Rebbe Elazar holds that Nisua, which we saw the expression Es Chamiha, meant in the domain of Chamiha, and Es Aviha is to mean in the domain of her father, namely Arusa. And Rebbe Elazar holds that Nisua and Arusa are treated similarly in the following way. We're not saying the same penalty, but we're saying in a similar way. What's the similar way? Ma Arusa chad darga maskina lo miskilo lisreifa. Just like the Arusa bas kohen, we have her rise one step, one level of severity from the standard approach to Arusa. What's the standard approach to Arusa? Well, the standard approach is Skila. Skila is the standard approach to Arusa Bas Yisrael. Lisreifa, to have her go up one step to the Sreifa penalty. So, as we saw in the original Rebbe Elazar's source, he said Es Aviha, that means in the realm of Aviha. In the realm of Aviha meant Arusa, and he is saying Arusa, and it said in the original Rebbe Elazar's source, Es Aviha Bisreifa. So we're saying Arusa, Bas Kohen, that behaves immorally with another man, is guilty of Sreifa. Af Nesua Chadargo Maskinan Lo, Mechenek Liskila. So too, the Nesua Bas Kohen is to be raised one notch from the standard Nesua Bas Yisrael approach. What is the standard Nesua Bas Yisrael approach? Chenek. And in Rabbi Shimon's realm, Chenek is the third level of severity. And it's and when you deal with a Nesua Bas Kohen, we notch her up one to this Skila penalty. And in fact, that's what Rebbe Elazar said when he said Es Chomia B'Skila. Es Chomia meant in the realm of Chomia. Namely, she's a Nesua. She's in her father-in-law's domain because she's fully married to her husband. And if she, at that point, behaves immorally, she will get the Skila penalty, which is a notch up from the standard Nesua penalty. Very nice. It fits into the words. However, it doesn't fit into the Shita. Maskiflo Rabbi Chanina. Ha, idi v'idi, Rabbi Shimon v'sreifa komar. If you want to try to parallel Rebbe Elazar to Rabbi Shimon, you will not be successful, because Rabbi Shimon himself holds that idi v'idi, both Arusa and Nesua, are guilty of the sreifa penalty. Rabbi Shimon parallels the Arusa to Nesua literally, that they get the same penalty. Not like we just explained Rebbe Elazar with a difference between Arusa getting Sreifa and Nesua getting the Skila. Elo Omar Ravina, Li Oilom Kirabonan. Notice, we've circled Ravina, and we mentioned earlier that we circled him in order to parallel him to the Ravin approach, and they do the same thing, and he says, Li'olam Karabonan. In the Ravin approach, there was an attempt to insert an expression, if you will, the expressions of Lamata and Lamala, and it was on those grounds that Rabbi Yirmiyah rejected the Ravin approach. Ravina says, we're going to parallel Rabbi Lozer to the Rabbanan, their shita being that Arusa Bas Kohen will get Skila and Nisua Bas Kohen gets Srefa, and he does it by switching around what Rabbi Lozer says, the Epoch means switching around. And Rashi notes that the expressions Esoviyah and Eschamiyah will mean Rishus in the domain of, but there's a switch around. Here he says in the frame section, Esoviyah Beskila. This is the opposite of the way we saw it in the original Rebbe Lozer, because here we're switching it around. Esoviyah means in the realm of in the Rishus of Raviyah, namely we're dealing with an Arusa. Arusa Bas Kohen is Beskila. The Eschamia Besrefa. Eschamia in the domain, in the realm, in the Rishus of her father-in-law. That's a Nesua. And if she behaves immorally with another man, so she is guilty of Srefa. Vahai Dekomar Esavia. And that which, in reference to Arusa, Rabbi Lozer uses the expression Esavia, and not the word Arusa. Sircha Bi'alma Nokat. The Rashi explains here, under the Dibur Masel Epoch, Rashi says, Idi v'idi rishus, v'hai dekomar es avia v'lonokat loshon arusa v'loshon nisua, sirchanokat. He was just following a precedent. He got into the realm of things. What do we mean by that? Al milse de tanakama sorech. He's cleaving unto or sticking to the precedent that the Tanakhama set, the Airi Belishna Dekra, where the Tanakhama used expressions like that, where the Pasuk itself uses the terms Es Oviyahi Mechaleles. So Rabbi Elazar continued using the same expression, Es Oviyah, but really it's a reference to Arusa. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Barafua, Omar Rav, Halocha k'deshalach Ravin Mishmei de Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Chanina. We've dashed underlined the word halocha because that's going to be the central point of the oncoming discussion. He says that we will rule like Ravin did, which set up Rabbi Lozer like the Rabbanon, and the result of that, then Arusa Bas Kohen will get the stoning penalty, and the Nesua Bas Kohen will get the Sreifa penalty. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef reacts to this with wonderment. He says, Hilchasa l'mashicha, are you paskening halachas, which are you ruling on halachas? By using the term halacha means that this is the way to act. But we cannot act like this. We don't have a Sanhedrin. These would be halachas that are germane to the time of the eventual redemption, at the time of the Mashiach. When the Mashiach comes, then Misos Besin will be reinstituted, and then, and only then, will these things be subject to practical halachic rulings. So why is it that you use the term halacha in something that doesn't have practical application? Amalei Abaye Elameyato, if it bothers you that we don't act on these things right now, and as a result of that, since we don't act upon these things right now, we shouldn't be ruling halachic legal outcomes, then shchitas kochim lo lisni. Then let us not even study shchitas kochim as a reference to masech zvachim, or we can expand that to all the halachas that are pertinent to the Beis HaMikdash, things involving the sacrifice of sanctified animals and the entire sacrificial realm. Let's not engage in its study. Hilchasa l'mashicha. Its relevance is only at the time of the Mashiach, and yet we do engage in the study of those topics. Ela drosh v'kabel schar. We study them and receive reward for studying them. In fact, the Gemara elsewhere mentions that one who studies the halachas of korbanos, it's considered as if he's actually offering those particular sacrifices. Hochanami, so too, as we are engaged in halachas concerning the penalties executed by Sanhedrin in the instance of immorality, drosh, let us study it, the kabel schar, and let us get reward for the basic study of it. So, Abaye has trouble understanding what Rav Yosef's objection is. So the Gemara explains, clarifies, Hochi Kamri. Thusly I say, what we've done in our markings, we've employed a squiggle underline under Rav Yosef and over here because this is really a clarification of what was bothering Rav Yosef. Hilchasa Lomali, why was it necessary to use the term Hilchasa in this particular machlokas? Namely, the machlokas between Ravin and Ravino. Ravin was presented in position number 3, and in position number 6 we saw Ravina, where both of them were setting up the Rebbe Lozer in the source, where we saw the bow ties, like the Tanaic authority of the Rabbonin, like that particular opinion. They, in effect, were both saying the same thing. So, as such, there's no real need to use the term halacha, which is an expression that means, which means we settle a controversy, when there really is no controversy between Ravina and Ravin. The only difference between them was in terms of phrasing or literary construction. And when that is the type of difference, there's no need to say halacha like so-and-so, when, as we say, there's no practical difference between them. There's no actual difference between them other than the wording. And as Rashi concludes, he says, when the Moshiach comes, and this is what Rabbi Yosef meant when he said Hilchasol Moshiach, when Moshiach comes and arouses the dead from their slumber, we'll ask Rebbe Lazar which phrasing he intended when he said what he did. Did he intend the Ravin approach, which was in, used the words lamata lamala, or did he intend the Ravina approach, which involved a switch around? Once again, we read this in the Gemara, Hochi ko'amri, thusly I meant to say, says Rav Yosef, Hilchasa lamali, sugya deshmaitza, halocha komar. In the course of this particular learning, specifically the machlokas between Ravin and Ravina, there was no actual difference between them other than a wording difference. And as a result of that, Rav Yosef's feeling is it was inappropriate to use the word halocha in order to settle that particular difference. Now the Gemara asks, my Rabbi Yishmael. We saw on Amud Aleph a reference to a Rabbi Yishmael, Shitas Rabbi Yishmael, and we saw also at the top of this particular Amid, Le'olam Kerbi Yishmael, and we said that we hadn't actually seen Rabbi Yishmael's opinion, and that's what's being featured over here. In order to find or to focus in why the Gemara is asking this, we have a little note on a little symbol to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You notice the double triangle, which indicates Omid Aleph, because if you flip to Omid Aleph, you will see a parallel marking at the point at which the Gemara said, E ki Rabbi Shmuel, if like Rabbi Shmuel, and at that point we indicated we would see him in the Braisa, and here it is. My Rabbi Shmuel, just to review, Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is that an Arusa Bas Kohen leaves the realm of Arusas in general, and she will get Srefa. But the Nesua, Bas Kohen, does not leave the realm of general Nesuos, and she stays with Chenek, like other Nesuos. Notice that the source itself is rather long. As we go on in the source, we're going to notice another opinion that appears, and that is of Rabbi Akiva. In our note featuring the topic of this sukkah, we note the Nose, Bas Kohen, Machlokas Tanoim u'Mekoroseim. We'll see a Machlokas Tanoim and their sources. Rabbi Shmuel will hold Arusa Bas Kohen is Bestrefa, Nesua Bas Kohen is Bechenek, and Rabbi Akiva will say Echad Zois ve'Echad Zois Bestrefa, that they get the same thing. This opinion, by the way, of Rabbi Akiva, we made reference to Rabbi Shimon, in our previous discussion, is holding the same thing. We turn back to the Gemara text. My Rabbi Shmuel, the Sanya, Ubas ish koyen ki sechel liznois. We saw this pasuk on Amud Aleph, and we can make reference to the entire pasuk once again, and we've provided this on the side of the Gemara, where you'll notice Vayikra Chof Aleph pasuk tes, Ubas ish koyen ki sechel liznois, es ovio hi mechalelis, bo eish tisoreif. So we continue in our text. This Bas Ish Kohen is Bina'aro Vihi Aruso HaKosuf Medaber. We're talking about Bas Kohen, who is a Na'aro, which means she's above the age of 12 and below 12 and a half, and she's also in an Aruso state. Namely, she's received Kesef Kedushin but hasn't consummated her marriage yet. Ata Omer Bina'aro Vihi Aruso O'eno Elo Afilu Nesua. Maybe the pasuk is talking about a Bas Kohen who is even a Nesua, that she's fully consummated her marriage. So to this we answer, not so. And there's a long answer marking that you can see by the tuf that appears in the space to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a dashed vertical line, indicating the length of this response. Talmud Lomar, Ish Asher Yinaf Es Eishes Re'ehu, Mois Yumos Hanoef Vanoefes. Rashi explains that the expression mos yumos is a reference to chenek. The pasuk itself says that a man who is yinaf, who behaves with intimacy and immorally, as eishes re'ehu, his friend's wife, man with another woman, with his friend's wife, and the pasuk says there's a penalty of chenek. Hakol hoyu bichlal hanoyev vahanoefes. Everyone was included. Now, who's the everyone? Everyone means any woman that has a marital status, whether she's an arusa or an esua, whether she's a kohenes or yisraelis. They were all included in this particular pasuk. However, there are other psukim that feature also married women engaged in immorality. Hoitzi hakosuf bas Yisrael biskila ubas kohen bisreifu. We find other psukim that feature a bas Yisrael getting skila and a bas kohen getting sreifa. Who are these bonois? Who are these bas Yisrael and bas kohen? Well, ma kishoitzi hakosuf es bas Yisrael biskila arusa v'lo nesua. Just like in the case of the Bas Yisrael, who is getting the skila penalty and not the standard chenek, who is it? It's an arusa that's getting it and not the nesua. Av kishahoitzi akosuf bas koin l'sreifa, arusa v'lo nesua. So too, when the pasuk features a special penalty for the bas koin, it must be talking about an arusa. We have a couple lines that are in brackets. We would skip them. Let's skip them initially, because what's in the brackets requires correction. But the Braisa says zomimeho bichlal misas boyalo. If there are false witnesses that try to testify about a bas kohen behaving immorally, let us say a bas kohen who is testified by two witnesses that are eventually shown to be Edim Zomimim, the source tells us they will get the penalty that they try to impose on the man that had these immoral relations, and not with the Bas Kohen, and not the penalty that the Bas Kohen would get. And that's what this phrase means. Zomimel b'chlal mises boyalo mishum shenemar v'asisem loy kasher zomam la'asois l'ochiv v'lo la'achoisoi. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. To explain this, let us use an example. A Bas Kohen Arusa, according to Rabbi Shmuel, gets the Sreifa penalty. What is the penalty that the fellow who had the immoral relations with her, what penalty does he get? He gets the Skila penalty. That's the penalty characteristic of the standard Arusa immorality. Therefore, since that's the man's penalty, when you have false witnesses, they will get what he should have received as opposed to what she receives. Let's go over these last few lines, the lines that we skipped. Zomemea uboyalo bechlal vasisem loy kasher zomam. The false witnesses and the paramour, the man that was engaged in the immorality, will be subject to the ruling of vasisem loy kasher zomam, which says that that which the witnesses try to impose on the defendant, they themselves get. So the Gemara asks, but that it can't be that the Edom Zomim and the defendant are penalized at the same time. Bo'alo mai kasher zomam ikah. To lump together the Edom Zomimim with the Boyel as getting the penalty as instructed by the Pasuk, kasher zomam, the Boyel isn't kasher zomam. Kasher zomam means as they schemed. The fellow acting immorally with the Bas Kohen, he wasn't scheming anything. He was actually engaged in an act. If they weren't found to be lying, Ella, the correct reading should be zoymemeha without boala zoymemeha bchalal misas boala. The Edom Zomimim would get the penalty they tried to impose on him. Mishum shenemar. That you shall do to the false witnesses that which they were scheming to do against the ochiv is a masculine expression. The loy lachoisoi, what they were trying to impose upon him, and not that which they were trying to impose on her. More simply stated, they will get the skila penalty, which is what he would have been guilty of, the paramour, and they will not get the srefa penalty that they were trying to impose on the woman. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, up till this point, this was Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Kiva Omer, achas arusa v'achas nesua yotzos l'srefa. Both an arusa bas kohen and an nesua bas kohen get the srefa penalty, because the posuk talks about a bas kohen that behaves immorally, making no distinction in the pasuk itself between Nesua and Arusa. Yochol afilu penuya, might it be suggested that even an unmarried Bas Kohen who is immorally behaving gets the Sreifa penalty? The answer to that is no. And how do we know to exclude the penuya? Ne'amar kan ovia. In the pasuk dealing with the Bas Kohen, it uses the word ovia. Ve'ne'amar lahalon ovia. In another topic, the topic dealing with motzi shemra, it uses the word ovia. Ma lahalon znus im zikasabal. Just like in the realm of motzi shemra, we're dealing with a married woman. That's a parsha, that's a section of the Torah that deals with a husband who is newly married, and he says, I did not find my wife to be a virgin. In other words, he is claiming that the woman he married had relations with another man. Simply stated, the parsha of Motzi Shemra is dealing with a woman in a marriage status. Af kan Zenus im zikasabal. So too, in the parsha that we're dealing with, the Bas Kohen who's behaving immorally, we're dealing with a married Bas Kohen to the exclusion of a penuya, an unmarried woman. Omar le Rabbi Shmuel, I ma lahalon naro viharusa. If you're going to compare the parsha of the Bas Kohen to the parsha of Naro Marasa, then you have to go all the way. You'll have to say that you're dealing with only a Nara, which is a girl between 12 and 12 and a half, and only if she and she must be an Arusa. Afkan, so too, then Naro viharusa. That the penalty of Srefa for the Bas Kohen would be only the Nara, and only if she's an Arusa. And not the Nesua, which is not like you said, because Rabbi Akiva wanted to say not only is an Arusa treated with the Srefa, but the Nesua is as well. But if you're going to parallel the Srefa Parsha due to the Bas Kohen to the case of Motzi Shemra, then you will have to limit yourself to a Nara Hamu'uresis. Omar le Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva responds, Yishmael Achi. He says, my brother Yishmael, Bas ubas anidoresh. The posuk used the expression ubas, added a vav. That will include the nesua. That serves to include not only the arusa, but a nesua as well. Armalei, Sir Bishmuel says, v'chimitne shato doresh bas ubas. Because you want a darshan of vav, notzi zu v'srefa. Should I take this one, the nesua, out of the realm of chenek and put her into the more severe realm of srefa? Could that be? Imashma lahavi es anesua. If you feel that you're going to include the nesua, hevi es hapnuya, then you might as well include even an unmarried woman, the imashma lahotzi es hapnuya. And if you feel that the drosha here is to exclude a pnuya, namely the comparison to the motzi shemra sugya is there to exclude a pnuya, so then hotzi es hanesua, so exclude the nesua woman as well. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel is saying to Rabbi Akiva, it should be either all or kim, or practically nothing. The Rabbi Akiva, what is his response? Ahani gzereshava limuti pnuya, v'ahani basu bas l'rabos es hanesua. There are two forces at work, Rabbi Akiva says. There's the gzereshava, that word comparison, namely the ovia comparison, that serves to exclude the pnuya. However, on the other hand, we have the vav as part of the word ubas, that serves to include the nesua. For Rabbi Shmuel Savar, midekomale bas ubas, Rabbi Shmuel had a mistaken understanding of Rabbi Akiva, and that's what led him to his question. He thought that since Rabbi Akiva introduced the vav approach, the ubas approach, he thought shma mina hodar be migzera shava, that Rabbi Akiva was actually dropping or reversing his limud of the gzeirah shavah. And if he were reversing his limud of the gzeirah shavah, then how would you know to exclude the pnuya? So to that we explained or clarified that Rabbi Akiva was not rejecting the gzeirah shavah approach. He was simply using the two forces in order to come to his conclusion, namely the gzeirah shavah to exclude the pnuya and the vav to include the nesua. Rabbi Shmuel, hi, bas, ubas, my dorish bay. What does Rabbi Shmuel do with the vav? Which we didn't see him address that. We only saw Rabbi Kiva address that. Answer, mi boyale, l'rodoni avui, the Shmuel bar oven. Rabbi Shmuel uses it for the following. L'fishimotzinu, shechile kakosu bizchorim. We found in other sections of the Torah a distinction between males and females. Bein tmimim l'balei mumin. This is regard to service with regard to the Beis Hamikdash. Yochol nachlok bivnoseim. Should we make a distinction between those that are tomim? Tomim means whether perfect, without imperfections, and balei mum. Let us just clarify, in the realm of service in the Beis Hamikdash, a Kohen who is a Baal Mum, who has some type of physical imperfection, he's not allowed to serve in the temple service. So we see in the realm of males, such a distinction is made. Should we make distinctions like this in the realm of females? Let us glance at the Rashi, three lines from the Bana, Bein Tmimim L'Balei Mumin, Linyan Avoda. With regard to temple service, Yochol Af Benos Balei Mumin, Yotsu Michlal Kedushasan V'Yadinam Kebenos Yisrael Imzanu? Would we say that a Bas Kohen who has a physical imperfection, she would leave the realm of Kehanim and be treated as a Bas Yisrael, and she would be treated in a different way with, let's say, the non-srefa penalty? Talmud Lomar, bas ubas. The vav comes to include, namely, that in the realm of women, kohanim, that behave immorally, there's no distinction made between whether they are tamimim or bali mumin. Rabbi Akiva, mi vehem makrivim vahoyu kodesh nafka. To, as far as including bali mumin likedusha, as namely Kedushas Kahuna is concerned, we learn from this pasuk that Bali Mumin are included. For Rabbi Shmuel, what does he respond to that? If I had only that pasuk, I would have thought that's true only with regard to Kohanim Zechorim. For example, a Kohen, a male Kohen, has Kedushas Kahuna. That means that even if he's a Baal Mum, he wouldn't be allowed to defile himself to a corpse. But Avo Benoseim Lo, had I had, once again, the pasuk of Vehei Makrivim alone, I would not have known that Bali Mumin have Kedushas Kahuna when it comes to the females. Kamash Malan, that's what Rabbi Yishmael needed, the additional pasuk of Ubas. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.